From Deep Inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
I'm Andrew Richards.
And we're back with Craig Brockschmidt.
Great to be here.
Once again, for our second week, author of Programming Windows Store Apps with HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, second edition.
One of the longest titles in the universe, I think.
It is pretty, yeah.
It's very actually maybe the longest Microsoft Press title there is.
It could be. It's, you know, they said Windows Store Apps. I wish there was a shorter name for that. I always thought we should call them native JavaScript apps. Because it's running native, basically as a native app on the system, and then you could shorten it to be a ninja. And then you could say, I'm a ninja developer, right? I thought that would be totally cool. People didn't buy it, though.
Well, maybe one of our loyal viewers can go out and look at all the Microsoft Press books and find the longest titled book and see. We'll see who wins.
Well, I have to say there were some APIs in Windows Runtime that are really long, and it presented a problem with word wrapping around the paragraph, right? It's like, where do we break that? And especially in JavaScript, because you don't have using statements where you get to get the namespace in there and then use just the class name. You actually have to use the fully qualified class name. Or you have to make an alias variable and go off of that. So it's a bit of a challenge sometimes to format it as a book.
You need a widescreen monitor to even write it.
Yeah, on the first edition in the ebooks, I think the PDF, there was some funky thing with the font that went on. It totally screwed up the line breaking. But we did it right in the second edition.
Right on. So you have some demos of some code that you wrote for the book?
I wanted to mention that one of the things I really tried to do with the book was to give a roadmap to all the resources that are available in the Windows SDK and the samples, as well as the documentation. Mm-hmm. Often those resources can be very hard to penetrate or understand. When do I care about what documentation, what sample, and so forth? And I have to say that's one of the surprises that I found going through our samples is just how comprehensive they are. Mm-hmm. You know, you get about 95-98% coverage of the Windows Runtime API surface area, which is astounding.
It's really good.
So I didn't have to write a lot of samples for that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll take one of those samples and add one more scenario to it or amend something. Mm-hmm. Or in one case, this is a funny story with, there's a sample called, it's JavaScript only, it's called Using Request Animation Frame for Efficient Animation Sample. One of the longest sample names. I make some jokes about that, of which is the longest sample, and the print sample, I think, is the shortest, because it's just print. And it was funny, because going through this particular sample, efficient animations, it was animating a clock face, but had 1 second ticks, right? Mm-hmm. It was running it at 60 frames a second.
Doesn't seem very efficient.
Not very efficient. I looked at the CPU. It's like, this thing's burning 20% of my CPU for this tick. Like, what can I do with this to improve it? Well, let's make it a continuous sweep. Let's actually continuous sweep the other hands and see what we can do with that CPU time. Mm-hmm. And then add some controls to cut down the frame rate to see just at what point do I really notice it? How fast does it really need to be? What's the CPU burn on that? So that made a nice little part of the animations chapter. Just to see if you're really going to roll your own, what's the right approach here. Mm-hmm. So yes, in the book I try to really index all the samples in the context of where you care about them. Mm-hmm. I use a lot of that code to show as well, and again amend it. And I'll show you one of the amendments that I made. So let me go to my start screen instead of this. I didn't run it. Let me find it here. It is called the, what is it? It's got a list view in it somewhere. List view custom layouts extras. This is one of the fun things with WinJS. This is in an appendix, actually, because it's kind of, you keep going deeper and deeper into the list view control, which is the biggest and most complicated of WinJS. Mm. One thing they allowed you to do in WinJS 2.0, which is in Windows 8.1, is do custom layouts really easily. You could do it in Windows 8 and WinJS 1, really complicated, really ugly, really ugly model, and I had all the information, but I never got to doing that. Very much, much, much simpler in WinJS 2, and you could do really interesting things like circular layouts, where this is a list view control where you have all the selection and tapping mechanisms and whatnot, and it's just easy with some CSS to sort of throw this stuff in there and make it fun. So
that's really cool.
Yeah, I didn't actually write this code. One of the developers in that team did, and I borrowed it from him because it was just such cool stuff to see. Mm-hmm. But then the one app that I have in the book itself which I follow through many chapters of the book, adding features a little bit at a time. So when you get to live tiles and notifications, like, well, let's add live tile experience to this. Mm-hmm. It's like a glorified selfie app. Okay. And it's called Here My Am, because when my son, who's now, he's getting close to 8 years, but when he was about 2 and 3 and just learning to talk, he would peek around corners and say, Here My Am. and so it's like a nice Hello World theme, yeah, right? Yeah. Instead of just saying Hello World with a piece of text, well, let's do something rich mm-hmm. and show how much you can do with not that much code. Mm-hmm. And so using the camera capture API and incorporating Bing Maps onto this, we have a simple thing that shows my photo and my location, and yes, here we are in Building 20 on Redmond. That's really accurate we are standing.
Exactly.
That's within a good couple of feet, actually.
That's right. And then you can basically, you tap to capture photo, here we are, I can give a smile, and do a little cropping here and whatnot. And this is all part of the Windows Runtime API.
This is all, you get this for free with the API.
You pretty much get this free. 4 lines of code will get you this. And then, you know, I show in here also how to change your layout, do appropriate sizing and scaling, being responsive. Oops, let me go back to that. To screen sizes, which is an important feature of Windows there. Mm-hmm. Well, in this first app, it doesn't do a whole lot if you happen to have not turned on your geolocation or you denied permission, you have no way to reset it and turn it back on. There's not a settings panel. There's a lot of things that are missing from this app. Least of all of which is I just use the book cover for its tile. Whereas you get up to chapter 19, by the end of the book, I've added a lot more. So we have a tile here that can be, you know, resized to all the different sizes that 8.1 supports. Mm-hmm. You get into it here and get the same, use webcam, yes. Get another picture here, I'll just
crop out those studio lights.
I have so many pictures of myself sitting in my office. And sometimes I work from home. I'm a remote employee and I work out of my home in outside Nevada City, California. Mm. And I have this really beautiful bay window that overlooks a hillside. And sometimes I have deer and wild turkey that come by. And sometimes I'll just swing the camera around and take a picture of that. That's my selfie of the deer with antlers looking right in my window. Yeah. Those are my office drop-ins. You know, I don't get people from campus doing that.
Yeah, you know, of course, wildlife instead.
Different type of wildlife.
Different type. Some of the people.
So, you know, I allow you to change your pins and whatnot. And there's different ways to incorporate the maps control here, either through like a web view control, and whether you're getting the maps code from the web directly, whether it's in your package, whether you're using the Bing Maps SDK. Lots of different variations there. But then we have things like an app bar where, yes, you can go load a picture. I say, I'm gonna use this picture of Wupatki National Monument instead. And okay, well, that's...
You better put that in the right place.
That's way down here in Arizona. Well, somewhere, yeah, somewhere hereabouts. Oh. Although I didn't move the pin. Mm-hmm. I can refresh my location if I said, okay, I wasn't actually in that, it didn't get it right. I can look at recent pictures that I've taken and pick some of those. And then I also did a full localization. Because one of the key things is when you go to the Windows Store, mm-hmm. we're a global marketplace.
Yeah. 60% of our revenue is outside US.
And especially if you look at Windows Phone, we're actually doing really well in a number of markets on Windows Phone. And so those are markets people want to target. Mm-hmm. And it's not that you have to target every international market at first. You look at good market analytics, say from App Annie or Distimo or whatnot, and you can see where is Windows Phone really popular. Like in Italy, in the UK, for example.
Mm-hmm. India,
Australia, Brazil. Mm. There's a number of markets like that. And so maybe those are the ones that you want to target. So it was fun to really finally go through a real app and do full globalization first, which is to make it world ready, and then a full localization into 10 different languages. Mm. So just as an example of that, let me go find, let's see. You want Russian, Hindi? Well, Hindi's kind of fun. We'll set that as primary. And I may need to restart this app. Let me just double check. So I don't know if I may need to restart Windows. Actually, well, this should pick up the language, but let's see here. It's kind of fun to see. I got Hebrew in here,
which is a right to left.
Which is a right to left language. Oh, there it is. Coming up. So. This was really cool to see that with CSS being what it is, mm-hmm. when you just toggle the right to left flag, WinJS just goes the other way. And I didn't write any code to handle right to left.
Yeah.
It was really beautiful to see that. And I did have a friend translate the text. This for some reason didn't end up centering. That's one of the little bugs I have with Hebrew. But it's very cool to see that, you know, here the app bar goes right to left. If you open the settings charm, it's still there. But you see all my settings are there. And even my privacy statement, which goes out to the web and grabs something off my website. I had to admit, I didn't translate this into Hebrew yet.
Translated for Hebrew. But it did pull it up for...
But it pulls it up, and it pulled up that specific page, and so there's a lot of ways to have fun with that. Mm-hmm. So it's a really fun app to see just the incremental changes from, you know, chapter to chapter. It's not every chapter has a new version of it, but like when you get to branding and tiles, and actually if we go back to the home page, hopefully, I haven't taken a picture in this one yet. Let's take one. There we go. We'll just OK that. And it should show up on the live tile here pretty soon. There it is.
That's cool.
And even a live tile in Hebrew.
Nice.
That's formatted right to left.
And it's got your geolocation there, latitude and longitude.
Yep, got latitude and longitude and whatnot. And I have fun when I'm at home. The geolocator isn't quite as accurate. Mm. And I'll just leave those coordinates in there and say, yeah, go ahead. And if you want to go visit there, you'll end up somewhere out in the forest or in Malakoff Diggin State Park where they did all that hydraulic mining back in the 1800s where they blasted hillsides away to get the gold out.
Yeah.
It's just 4 miles down the road. It's a really neat place. But
neat.
Come visit sometime.
Come visit. Yeah. Sounds very cool.
Anyway, so...
We can pick in your window and see if you have a deer.
So throughout the book, you just basically keep adding features to the same app and you show the sample code.
To try to build up a fuller example of it and go all the way to submitting it to the store. It's actually in the store, but it's only available in Trinidad and Tobago, which is the smallest market that Windows is available in and is what people have suggested over the years to say, if you want to do a small release beta test, put it into that country and then send people links to it. If you have the link, you can get it. But if you're just searching, you have to be in that country to find it. But if you set your location on your device, if you go up here and set it to Trinidad and Tobago, you will actually find it.
Then you'll see it in
there. There it is, those guys. You'll see it in the store.
Nice. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, Perth in Australia used to be that place because it's before the internet. And Perth is the most remote city in the first world city in the world. It's like 4,000 or 5,000 miles to the next city. Mm-hmm. And so they used to send it to Perth, do it there. There was barely any press coming out of it. Mm-hmm. And you could do a targeted release there, and then when it passed there, they then did it globally. But
interesting.
So a little bit of story about being remote.
Now it's Trinidad and Tobago.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I learned something new today.
Yep.
Right on.
So where's the code? How do you get the code? I mean, you get the book from Microsoft Press or something?
Yeah, actually the easiest way to remember it is aka.ms. Mm-hmm. That's our URL shortener, and then Brock Schmidt Book 2. That's the second edition. You go there, you get all the EPUB formats, PDF, EPUB, Mobi. Mm-hmm. So you can download them there. You can get the companion code there. We have also a site where the different videos of the book are. I realized in writing the book that some stuff would take a lot of words to explain, like list view animation. It's like, let's just make a really short 10, 15 second video to show the effects.
Okay.
Or like when you're trying to show screen rotation and, here I'm locking an orientation on a tablet device so that when I turn it this way, it doesn't actually rotate the screen. But when I switch apps, it'll do that if the other app you're targeting or switching to doesn't have the lock on it.
Yeah.
You know, and showing that, so it's like, okay, let's set up a video camera, put tape on my wall so I wasn't moving too much and getting it rotated that way.
Cool.
So yeah, there's probably about... I think there's maybe 20 videos that I use in the book. And one of them, I have to say, in chapter 2, which is my quick start, where I just say, let's just run end-to-end, build the first version of Here My Am, get an introduction to the tools like Visual Studio and Blend, and really doing that for the person that has never touched those tools before.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've heard many times for Visual Studio people say, this is like getting into a 747
it's
cockpit.
Overwhelming, yeah.
And there's so much there, and you realize you really only need 10% of it at most to get going and be effective. Get your app, get coding, get debugging, set your breakpoints. So I have a introduction to Visual Studio in about 10 minutes. I think it's actually 12.
Great.
Just to say, here's what you do, and also to introduce Blend. Yeah. Because especially for CSS and JavaScript, Blend is a fabulous tool that people get a little skittish about because they think, oh, this is for designers. And I'm not a designer, I'm a developer, so I don't touch that. But you really start understanding how it works, and it makes CSS debugging totally easy. Because you get the app is running in the tool, and if you change any of the styles or properties, it just reflects it in the UI. And you can go into what's called an interactive mode, work with the app, drill down into whatever state you need to, and then pop out of that. So all the dynamic code you might have done, all the dynamic styling is there. Then you can see exactly what's present, where it came from, what style sheet is affecting it, and then go figure out where to make that change and see it happen in real time. So once you get that pattern, which I show in the video, it's a super effective tool.
I'm guessing if you're a C-sharp developer, is it a bit of a jump to go across to JavaScript and go from XAML to CSS, or is it kind of the same?
C-sharp to JavaScript is easy,
yeah,
and vice versa, because the languages are both based on C. They have a lot of similarities. Mm-hmm. XAML and HTML, CSS, totally different worlds. I have to admit, I still don't get XAML, really. I left Microsoft in 96, right when the .NET stuff was happening, and I came back in 2008 when everyone had 12 years experience. Yeah. And I've just never caught up. So that's one reason why I embraced the JavaScript side here, is because nobody in late 2010 had any experience with it yet. So there's a good chance to specialize in something.
Great.
But it is, CSS can be a lot of voodoo. Because really what you're doing there is you're giving declarative instructions to configure the rendering engine. That's how it works. It's not procedural in any way. So you have to kind of set up this magic and kind of hope it works. But that's where Blend is really super useful, because you take a lot of the hoping out of it.
You can see it.
Yeah. But yeah, it is a bit of a stretch to go between the presentation layers. And you could say the same thing about DirectX.
Yes.
That's a big jump for even a XAML person. Fortunately,
big jump for anybody.
fortunately, you can do XAML and DirectX interop in Windows 8.1, which is really helpful, because you can do a lot of UI in XAML and then do your real drawing surfaces in DX, which is what, this app here, Fresh Paint, does. It has a lot of XAML surfaces in it, and then its main canvas is DirectX. But you can't quite do that in JavaScript, at least not yet. Someday maybe we'll make that a little more better.
Right on. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great. Well, that's our show for this week. I would like to thank Craig for coming down and showing us his cool stuff. Go grab that book. Check it out.
It's free.
It's free. You've got nothing to lose. So thanks for watching. As always, if you have questions or comments, put them in the show notes or email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.